You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
There's nothing like a shaggy dog, baby. They're shagadelic. And this is the place to find out how to achieve harmony in the household with your pets. Yeah, peace, harmony, pet power. Holy shih tzu, baby. You'll learn how to keep your pets from chewing your shoes or eating your cat. It's all about relationships, baby. You and your pet... pet. So tune in, turn on, and get ready for the positively grooviest pet podcast on the planet. Ooh, that's a lot of peas, baby, isn't it?
What's this show called?
Oh, Behave!
No, really, what's this show called?
Oh, Behave! With your shagadelic host, Arden Moore. What's happening, Arden? Yeah, baby, yeah. Tell us.
Welcome to Oh, Behave on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. I appreciate all of you tuning in. Today, we're going to be discussing the cat. In fact, this may just be the best year to be a cat. And the reason being is very important people and groups are starting to pay even greater attention to our feline friends. Among them is a very special and talented veterinarian. She is Jane Brunt. She is the former president, in fact, of the American Association of Feline Practitioners. That's like the grand poobah of all cats. So I wanted to welcome you, Dr. Brunt, to the show.
Well, thank you, Arden. It's a pleasure to be here today.
That's great. We're going to be talking about ways that we can actually help veterinarians and help our cats get better care and so that they can live longer and healthier lives with us. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Would you like to go out? Well, actually, I was talking to your owner. I meant on a date, baby. Yeah, you and me. Oh, Behave! We'll be right back after these groovy, shagadelic messages. Oh, yeah. Want to know what cats like to eat for breakfast? Mice Krispies, of course. Learn everything there is to know about cats on Catitude with your host, Tom Dock. Each week, we'll spotlight a cool cat breed, give up-to-date advice on cat health, and check out spiffy new cat products. So curl up on the couch every week for a perfectly enjoyable time on Catitude. Every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Pets are part of the family, and when traveling with your dog, there's only one magazine to include when packing your doggy's duffel bag, and that's Fido Friendly, the travel and lifestyle magazine for you and your dog. Each bi-monthly issue includes hotel, city, and state reviews, and doggy destinations to explore with your furry companion. Fido Friendly magazine can be found at Borders, Barnes & Noble, PetSmart, Pet Boutiques, and Fido Friendly hotels nationwide. Or you can go online to subscribe at www.fidofriendly.com. So get traveling with your pet today and leave no dog behind. And remember, Fido Friendly's the only magazine dedicated to the travel lifestyle of man's best friend and the one magazine your dog will thank you for.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
We're switched back on, baby. Yeah, so let's talk pets with our smashing host, pet edutainer Arden Moore, and the groovy show that's cool, baby. Really shagadelic. Oh, Behave!
Welcome back to Oh Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. As mentioned, we have a very special guest. She is Jane Brunt, the past president of the American Association of Feline Practitioners. And she doesn't just live in the past. She is doing many things now and for the future to better cats. She is the spokesperson for the No Heartworms Cat campaign. Yes, cats do get heartworm. And she's also going to be playing a key role in an upcoming conference in beautiful Palm Springs in February called the Catalyst Summit. And I wanted to ask you, Dr. Brunt, thank you first for being on the show. And tell me a little bit about this summit. I mean, why are we suddenly putting the spotlight on the felines, and what's the summit hope to attain?
Well, the summit is in response to some recent alarming news that we've learned that cat visits to veterinarians are going down. And it's really surprising when you think about how many cats there are in the United States, some 80 million pet cats and more cats than dogs, that they would actually go to the veterinarian less frequently than dogs do. So in response to this information, we have decided to collaborate and to join forces with many other organizations, and we'll be convening, as you said, in Palm Springs, California in early February to join forces to try and identify what are some of these barriers, how can we make it easy for pet owners to bring their cats to the veterinarian to get the care that they deserve and they need.
Well, in addition to yourself, and your background is pretty amazing, if I was a cat, I would like you to be my veterinarian. I just wouldn't tell you that because it's not cool. You know, cats want to, like, act cool. But in addition to you, what are some of the groups that are going to be coming to the summit?
Well, lots of other veterinary groups, the American Animal Hospital Association and the American Veterinary Medical Association, as far as veterinary organizations, shelter veterinarians, also some humane and rescue organizations, the ASPCA and American Humane, other organizations responsible for, you know, the information about cats, the veterinary technician groups, and charitable organizations like the Morris Animal Foundation and the Wynn Feline Foundation, behavior groups, and then some initial key industry partners, corporations that have an interest in the health care of cats. Our sponsor, Pfizer Animal Health, will, of course, be there, and then we're looking to some other early key players to be at the summit so that we can outline some things that we can do going forward, and then reach out and embrace the support and the enthusiasm of many other organizations and individuals.
Well, I appreciate that. I know the Morris Animal Foundation and the Wynn Feline Foundation, in my role as editor of Catnip, we've recently done some stories on all the studies that they're seeking to find researchers to do on cats. Is there a connection between the health of a cat and possibly the health of us?
Oh, there's so much information and so much scientific data about the human-animal bond and how that improves the quality of life and even the health of people when they have an animal in their life. And you know what it's like to stroke a cat and how that lowers your blood pressure. And, you know, similarly, the health considerations for having a cat. We want to make sure cats are healthy so that they can stay in people's lives, because there are known conditions that can be shared by cats and animals, the zoonotic diseases that they can share.
Give me a couple of, zoonotic, I guess, just simply means it could be passed on to people.
Yes. And in the broad sense, it's diseases that are shared by animals and man. So it can go both ways. And I'll give you a perfect example of a zoonotic condition, and that's the simple case of roundworms. And roundworms are a parasite of the intestine of cats and dogs, and they're different species, but the roundworm lives in the intestine, inside the intestine of, say, the cat, and then it lays eggs, and the eggs then go out into wherever the cat defecates. It could be the litter box. If it's an outdoor cat, it could be a child's sandbox. And then when that egg hatches into the environment, potentially that larva can then get into people and cause very serious conditions like larval migraines. They can get these little larvae that burrow through the skin and get into the eye and other parts of the body. And you want to protect human health by keeping your cat healthy. In fact, my mother is 84 years old. She lives indoors. She has
Mother lives indoors, or your mother's cat?
She lives.
Well, I'm glad to hear both of them live indoors. That's
she
good.
Lives indoors with her indoors cat, and she's had Tulip now for 3 years. Tulip never goes out, And just on a whim one time, I said, you know, I haven't checked a stool sample on Tulip in a while, Mom. I'll take one in. I took it in, and I'm embarrassed to say that it, in this baggie, sat in my briefcase for several days. But I finally kind of came across it. I'll have it analyzed anyway. Well, don't you know that Tulip had a roundworm? And I was like, oh my gosh, how did she ever get this? And here my mother is at risk because she is changing a litter box, and I felt horrible. So
Don't feel horrible. The fact that you did take the action is good. So don't, you know, don't berate yourself. But, you know, you brought a very good point that, you know, we do need to practice good hygiene habits when we clean our cat's litter boxes. And not to be weird, but you got to pay attention to their deposits, right?
Oh, exactly. And that's one of the things that can give you a clue that there might be something wrong.
What is it with cats? You know, I have a dog, a couple of dogs, and a couple of cats, and the dogs get almost Oscars when they feel the least bit not feeling well. You know, they do the pawing, they do the whining, they look at you like, oh my gosh, it really hurts. And yet, I had a cat that was slimming down. I was proud of myself because her nickname, Callie's nickname, was Calorie. And I'm thinking, wow, I must be doing something right just through osmosis because she's losing weight. Well, lo and behold, I went to talk to my veterinarian, and it turns out she has hyperthyroidism. Mm-hmm. What is it about cats that they don't really want to let you know when they don't feel well, and how can we as caretakers of them do a better job of tuning in to changes?
That's a really great question, Arden, because cats are, I like to say, they're really clandestine about their signs. They just don't come up and tell you that they don't feel well. And in our circles, in our feline circles, we like to say they have subtle signs of sickness. And we actually, on our website for the American Association of Feline Practitioners, we list the 10 subtle signs of sickness. And they're very, very hard to recognize.
Little Can you run down like, a few? Yeah, go
sure,
ahead, run down
sure,
a few.
Sure. Any change in activity, well, you know, it's normal for a cat to sleep 16 or 18 hours a day, so a change in their activity or a change in their sleeping habits might be really hard to recognize. Are they sleeping a little bit more? I don't know. On the other hand, maybe with your cat, Callie, with the hyperthyroidism, maybe she was sleeping less and more active, and maybe that gave you a clue, but that's hard to know. Changes in food or water consumption, either an increase or a decrease, but particularly, you know, older cats, maybe with Callie, you thought, oh, she's eating really well, she's an older cat, and oh my gosh, she's losing weight, so everything must be great, right? Well, here it is, this disease of an overactive thyroid causing her to want to eat more and be more active, perhaps. And, gee, she's losing weight, so everything's great. When, in fact, she has a very serious disease that causes other problems. Some of the other signs of sickness might be inappropriate use of the litter box or non-use of the litter box. When cats urinate or defecate outside of the litter box, what does that mean? A lot of people right away think, oh, they're mad at me. I did something wrong, or maybe the litter box wasn't quite clean enough. And that may be the case, but in more cases than not, there's some underlying medical problem that we need to try and address.
So you're saying that the cats, you know, they can't hold a pen in their hand. They don't have thumbs, so writing you a hate letter isn't going to work. But I think you've drawn a very good point that this so-called boycott of the litter box could actually be a medical condition.
Oh, exactly. There are lots of, for example, feline lower urinary tract diseases that are caused by things like could be crystals or stones in their bladder. It could be infection. There could be a condition we call interstitial cystitis that causes straining in blood without infection or stones and makes them want to not go in the litter box. So, yes, there are very, very, very often there's a medical condition that you need to get the advice and get the information from your veterinarian to help your cat.
That's very good points. You know, one thing I also often hear people say is, You know, they stay inside all the time, the cats. I mean, really, why do I even need to take them to the veterinarian? Because my dog's out and about, more exposed to things. And you know what? You know, cats are pretty self-sufficient. What's the big deal? Why should we even do something called a wellness? And you know, I'm just yanking your tail on this one, but please help the listeners understand why it really is important to get regular exams for their cats.
Oh, exactly. I mean, that's one of the big cat myths, that, you know, cats are independent. So the inference is that, well, they can take care of themselves and they don't need medical care. So it's really easy for those problems to build and build and build and go undetected because they don't show their signs. Mm-hmm. And when, for example, in our practice, we see well cats twice a year for a semi-annual wellness exam. And I have been astounded since we've been doing this for well over 2 years now at the number of conditions that we can identify early. I'm talking about things like dental disease, where maybe we might want to intervene with a special diet or home care. Mm-hmm. Things like obesity, so we can prevent diabetes. And we can pick things up early in the progression of a problem, address it, and then prevent other problems down the road. So the wellness exams are really, really important.
You know, you're right. I don't see my cats, Callie and Murphy, walking around with stethoscopes hanging around their necks and checking each other saying, how do you feel? Oh, I feel good. Yeah. So, and they do seem good on the outside. So it's sort of like you have to play kitty detective, I guess. These wellness exams, some people might say, oh my gosh, how do I even get my cat in a carrier? It seems like I bring the carrier out and it's, see ya, wouldn't want to be ya. I'm under the bed and I'm always under in the middle of the bed where you can't reach me. I think cats go to school for that. I really do.
I think like, so. No, I think it's innate. I think that's one of their,
it's under
now
the
that
bed
we have sequenced
training.
The genome, we know
Can
about that.
Can you explain
that,
how do we outfox the feline to be able to even get them in the carrier in the first place to get them to see someone like you?
You know, it's a whole educational process from the beginning for us to our owners, cat owners, new cat owners, about making that carrier be a pleasant thing. Have it out. Have it, you know, be something that the cat enjoys, a little place that they can go to be by themselves. Not unlike crate training, but, and I'm not suggesting that. It's just that if it can be just part of a positive routine from the get-go, from the very beginning, instead of it's a run around the house, close the doors, oh my gosh, I've got the carrier, shove the cat in the carrier. I made a video one time and put the video camera as if it were the cat's eye view.
Okay.
And I made it be this whole routine where, you know, you're trying to go from one side of the bed, you see the other, and then you get shoved in the carrier, and then the carrier gets wobbled walking out the door and put in the car, and then on the car ride, and then wobbled in to the vet's office, and here are these dogs barking facing into the carrier. And can you imagine what that must be like for this little creature?
So I'd be looking for a litter box quick, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, it gets back to kind of the basics of how do we start? How can we make that a pleasant experience and then reinforce the positive? And then once you get to the hospital, then have it be a pleasant experience at the hospital with the right kind of handling and interaction, and it's just a whole thing that we need to kind of, it's not bear down on the cat and get the cat out, yank the cat out of the carrier, and of course they're not going to want to come.
Well, so. We're speaking with Dr. Jane Brunt, and she is going to be directing a major cat summit called the Catalyst Summit in February. And we're going to be talking to her a little bit more about ways to make the carrier more feel like a kitty condo. And I would love to see that video you did from the cat's eye view to maybe drum home to our listeners the importance of making the carrier something of comfort and not of terror. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Would you like to go out?
Well, actually, I was talking to your owner. I meant on a date, baby. Yeah, you and me.
Oh, behave. We'll be right back after these groovy, shagadelic messages. Oh, yeah.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Because they're a member of the family, keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. On demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome to Pet Planet. Here's a copy of Pet Planet Magazine, Florida's most informative and fun pet resource magazine. It features heartwarming stories and informative articles from local and national pet experts.
Excellent!
Pet Planet Magazine offers Operation Planet Rescue, helping rescued pets find new homes. And it's available at 500 locations in South and Central Florida and 24/7 on the internet at PetPlanetMagazine.com. If you're out and about with your pet, you may be featured in paparazzi, candid pictures of you and your pet. For up-to-date pet-friendly events, activities, and pet-related services and products, Pet Planet Magazine is your final destination.
I shall take this magazine home with me.
Back to your home planet?
No, to my condo in Boca.
Pet Planet Magazine. Check them out at www.petplanetmagazine.com or 352-394-8578. It's out of this world.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
We're switched back on, baby. Yeah, so let's talk pets with our smashing host, pet edutainer Arden Moore, and the groovy show that's cool, baby. Really shagadelic. Oh, behave!
Welcome back. You're listening to the Oh Behave Show on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Arden Moore. Today, we are speaking with Jane Brunt. She's a veterinarian and former, actually past president of the American Association of Feline Practitioners. She is the go-to person, the spokesperson for the No Heartworms campaign, and she's going to be orchestrating a major cat powwow in Palm Springs in February called the Catalyst Summit. You can actually learn more about this summit by going to catalystsummit.org. That's CatalystSummit.org. I get an A for spelling. And or www.goodnewsforpets.com. Just run those words together. And you're going to be learning more also in upcoming editions of Catnip. And my friend at Cat Fancy, Susan Logan, is the editor of that one. We both plan to be doing some follow-up stories on the summit. Dr. Brunt, when it comes to cats in the carrier, what I typically do is I have left the carrier out and made it a condo. I've heard other people that actually that have garages, they sneak the carrier into their car in their garage that's closed. They wait a pregnant hour or so, you know, let the cat forget about that little carrier, and just kind of bring the kitty in and talk to it nice, and the next thing you know, it's in the garage, and boom, it's in the carrier. What do you think of these two options, kind of making it a ho-hum part of the home decor, or bringing the carrier and getting it all ready for the trip before they know what's happening?
Well, first, I think I honestly think they can read the calendar and they know when the veterinary visit is. But
yeah.
I think the more comfortable and the more positive interactions that they've had with the carrier and making that a pleasant place to be and easy to put your cat in is another key point.
Okay.
Having a carrier that, for example, opens on top as well as the side. Every time I see a great carrier, I'm like, oh, where did you get that? That's so cool. I've seen ones that look like plastic picnic baskets, like the Dorothy and Toto that the whole top opens up.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's really easy to let cats in and out of those compared to those block-shaped ones that have the door that's only about half of the size of the whole carrier. So trying to get your cat encouraged to go
yeah.
in those carriers can be a challenge.
It's amazing how big they get, you know, when they know that they have to be squeezed through the opening. All of a sudden they puff up like an octopus and they seem to have
exactly.
eight legs instead of four.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's good. Now, you know, one of the things that you are going across the country helping people better understand is something that I bet people aren't even aware of, and that's that, gosh, cats can get heartworms too. And I remember talking to you about this earlier, and, you know, I give my dogs their heartworm pills every month as a preventative. What's up with cats?
Well, cats get heartworms too. You're exactly right, Arden. And the challenge has been, well, there have been a number of challenges. And one is that cats, it's not heart disease. You know, they're called heartworms. So we think,
right.
Oh my gosh, I've been to the veterinarian. I see this big jar that they have of a dog heart and this plate of spaghetti coming out of the dog heart. Well, yes, that's heartworms in dogs. It's spread by mosquitoes. But guess what? The same mosquitoes that will bite the dog to get infected can then transmit it to cats and even indoors cats because mosquitoes get inside. Now,
right.
You know, and the thing that's different in most cases of cat heartworm infection is that the larvae, as it travels through and develops after the cat has been bitten by a mosquito, the larvae die at the lungs. And they don't grow up into the big spaghetti-like larvae in the heart that you see in the dog. And it causes lung disease, not heart disease. And it's really hard to diagnose. So for many years, we occasionally see a heartworm in an adult heartworm in a cat's heart, but as a post-mortem exam, as almost as a gee whiz. And we really missed for many years understanding that it's lung disease, not heart disease.
So by having a preventative medication, that's one, and maybe these wellness exams too. Is there ways that you can sort of keep tabs on the tabby?
Exactly. It's so easy to prevent heartworm infection in cats with a monthly preventative. There are various ones that are available from your veterinarian because they are a prescription. But, you know, the topical, I really like Revolution because it's topical and it covers so many other, it gets roundworm and that's what I have Tulip on now so that once a month she gets these drops on her shoulder so she doesn't transmit any roundworms or get heartworms again. And, you know, we can prevent it, but we can't treat it. Once a cat is infected with a heartworm, you can't treat it. And it very often can cause death, sudden death. And that's another thing is they don't show their signs of heartworm.
Well, you can also learn more about heartworm in cats by visiting the website, which is www.noheartworms.org. And no is spelled K-N-O-W. Because you don't want noheartworms.org, but it's noheartworms, K-N-O-W, heartworms.org, and Dr. Brunn is on that site, and she definitely can guide you through. You actually have a couple of kitties yourself, I understand. Patty and Freddie?
I do.
Tell me a little bit about them.
Patty's one of those challenge boys who has an eating disorder.
Okay.
And I work very hard at trying to prevent him from eating too much and trying to keep him. We do this thing called body condition scoring, and on a scale of 9, he should be a 5. That's ideal.
Yeah.
And Patty's about a 7, so we're working through some challenges. But
and that's Patty. That's Patty as an Irish form. P-A-D-D-Y.
It is P-A-D-D-Y. He's a gray tabby, and just personality plus. Nothing phases him. And on the other hand, Freddie, this little spindly black short hair, just races all through the house, and it's kind of funny come feeding time. It's like, on your mark, get set, go, and they down the hallway to where their feeding area is. So they really make me laugh.
Do they get along well?
They do. They're really, really big buds, and I have a dog also, and it's funny to watch them interact because the wild one, Freddie, likes to interact with the dog Charlie with an EY, and Patty kind of looks over and makes sure that Charlie doesn't step over his bounds there.
What kind of dog is Charlie?
He's a standard poodle.
Okay, and so he's got the brains enough to know that cats are gods, right?
Well, he defers to them, and that's a good thing.
That's good. Yeah, in my household, my two dogs know that my cats are gods, and they know the best way to get good treats is by being well-behaved around the cats, because the cats are almost like the door opening to the best treats. When they're good around the cats, they get the better treats. That's how I got them to be introduced. I mean, you've been a veterinarian for a number of years, and you've been quite a talented one, and yet you did found or create the cat hospital at Towson in Baltimore, which I love that city. Baltimore's great. And you were pretty much of a pioneer, because I understand that was the first feline-only vet hospital in the state of Maryland at the time you started it. And then because you just want to squeeze more time in a day, you opened up a second practice in Cordova, Maryland.
Right.
And both of them are got the seal of approval by the American Animal Hospital Association. Tell me what made you kind of steer your practice toward cats, and how in the heck do you do all this and be able to be a spokesperson for so many noble causes?
Well, you know, I think it's having the same people around you that have the same passion for cats, and they're really such special creatures, and they deserve to have something of their own without the stress of, you know, dogs in a veterinary hospital. And I learned that after just a few years after I graduated from veterinary school, that, you know, I really like dogs, and of course I've had dogs almost always, but cats are, you know, cats are special and cat people are special. There's just mm-hmm. something special about the bond and the interaction and how you handle them, and I just really like them, and to have people to come to work every day and to have people around you that have that same ilk, it really makes it pretty easy. So that's why I do what I do.
Well, I applaud you for that. Now, speaking of cats, do you think maybe 2008, even though I think it in Chinese, year of the frog, do you think this could be the year of the cat, a turning point, if groups like yourselves are able to let people know what's happening with cats? And, I mean, what's your thoughts about 2008 being the year of the cat?
Yes, it is such a great opportunity. And just to see how many people and organizations really see the benefits to owning a cat and how we can keep them healthy and how we can decrease their numbers in shelters by making sure they're spayed and neutered. And it's just so great to see the opportunities that we have to collaborate with these great organizations going forward so that we have different focuses and different interests and maybe there are different philosophies in some things. But if we can all agree that we can elevate, that we can enhance the stature of the cat and make people aware of the opportunities to be a responsible pet owner and how do we do that and improve their health care so that people stay healthy and we can continue the cycle of love.
Well, that's very well put. I know that people will think, oh my gosh, you know, it's going to cost me more to have my cat if I do these wellness exams twice a year. But actually, it may be actually saving money in the long run, right? If you do that and maybe pay more attention to what's on the food label and quality food.
Oh, yes. You are a wonderful advocate for nutrition and proper nutrition, and you have a lot of resources on your website, Arden. But that's one of the things that at Wellness that we talk about. How to control obesity. We know that obesity then can lead to arthritis, and that's an underdiagnosed problem in cats as well. We see a lot of arthritis in cats, and they're painful, so they sleep more and they're inactive, so they gain more weight, so they get more arthritis.
Yikes.
And if we can prevent that from happening and make people aware of how to prevent it, it benefits everybody.
Well, that's right. I know that I'm working with Murphy, my cat, who probably is a 7 on that Richter scale. I call her Morphy. And I've learned, I had my family visit, and they brought their 3 dogs. And what I decided to do is have Murphy spend a little bit more time. You know, I didn't do the free feeding anymore, and I'm having her sort of hunt for her food. I mean, I keep track of the kibble and everything. And I've noticed that her energy level is up, and she's more engaging. She's like, you know, just pouring it into a bowl is kind of boring. Let me earn a little bit, you know. And so we've been working on that, and it's amazing how cats, just like dogs, want to be active. They want to be mentally and physically, you know, stimulated.
Right. Environment enrichment. I had a nice visit to the Maryland SPCA a couple of weeks ago, and we were looking at their big, they had this great big huge kennel of toys that people had donated, and we were talking about cat toys with the director, Aileen Gaby, there. And we picked up this small, you know, those petite water bottles that are the kids' size ones. And we thought, wow. I said, what about putting cat food in there and just making holes just barely big enough for the food to be able to come out when they play with them? So now she's on a mission to save all these little mini water bottles.
See, now that's a great idea. You're kind of like the Martha Stewart of feline tips. See, you could end up having your own talk show. You could be doing this. I'm telling you. Just remember us humbly people here at Pet Life Radio, when you become a rock star of the feline world, you know, don't forget about us little people, okay?
Oh, truly not. And I'd be remiss to mention, too, that at the Catalyst Summit, you're going to be there, as well as Susan Logan, as you mentioned, for the cat media people, and yep, obviously then some veterinary media, because we need to get the word out.
Well, we plan to be catty, but in a good sense, because we want to catty to get out good information. I really want to thank you again, Dr. Brunt, for being available to our listeners. You are one of the good champions and crusaders for all cats and people who happen to love cats. You are the past president of the American Association of Feline Practitioners, which I've mentioned is being a top cat, you know, in this area. You operate a couple of veterinary practices. You're spokesperson for the No Heartworms campaign, and you're going to be playing a key role with this Catalyst Summit in a lovely spot on the map, Palm Springs. I do thank you very much for being here. Is there anything you'd like to add before we bid adieu?
Oh, it's been a pleasure. Thank you, Arden. I would just like to make sure your listeners know about the American Association of Feline Practitioners, and our wonderful, beautiful new website is very easy to access. It's catvets.com.
Catvet, or plural or singular?
Plural, CATVETS.com. And on that site, there's easy access to a lot of feline health topics that give people resources for information about diseases and, you know, various conditions and wellness. Of course, you mentioned noheartworms.org, and I really thank you for spreading the word about health care for cats.
Well, you're welcome, and I just want you to know, as we're wrapping this up, my cat Callie has now come close to my microphone. I think you have feline magnetism, because she's giving you a big paws up and thanking you for helping her and other cats out there. And you know what? Next year, we'll be touting some of the advances in feline care, and wellness will just become a routine.
That would be just great.
All right. Thank you again, Dr. Brunt. You are listening to OBehave on Pet Life Radio. If you'd like more information about today's show or transcripts on this show or any others, just go to the website www.petliferadio.com and click on the OBehave show. I also want to take this time to thank my very cool producer. He knows how to get this technology done well. And if you have any questions or comments or ideas for a show, please email me at arden@petliferadio.com. So until next time, this is your flea-free host, Arden Moore, delivering just two words for all you 2, 3, and 4-leggers out there. OBehave.
There's nothing like a shaggy dog, baby. They're shagadelic. And this is the place to find out how to have harmony in the household with your pets. Oh, yeah. So stop by our pad every week and get switched on, baby. Switched on to the show that's all about attitude. Oh, behave. With your groovy host, pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Yeah, baby, yeah. Every week on demand on PetLifeRadio.com.